Good. Well, I am fighting something, and so if while I'm sharing I cough or hack or anything, just clear out of the way. So, but let's just open our hearts right now. Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we just ask that today as we have an opportunity once again to come into your presence, Lord, as a family of believers, Lord, that we would experience, Lord, everything that you have for us today. Lord, I pray that as we take communion, Lord, that we would experience, Lord, that oneness with you, that common union that you promise in your word to let us receive. Lord, I pray that as we worship, Lord, that if there's any sicknesses in our body, any diseases, any wounds in our heart, Lord, that you would do a healing work in us, Lord. So we just thank you, Jesus, for your presence that's here right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you rulership and reign here today in our lives and in this service. And we just ask that you would just allow your perfect will to be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You can stand if you want.
You are perfect, Lord. You are awesome, Lord. You are a wonder. You are a wonder, Lord. After those first two songs that we're playing, I thought, okay, Lord, I will be obedient. I was sharing with Ken on our way here, and I kept thinking, I'm not sure the Lord wants me to share this. And so if he gives me the green light, I'll do it. Well, he did. So 2 weeks ago, I think, I had a dream. And it was about one of our brothers here in church. And he was standing on a cliff. And I can't tell you if he was going to jump or not. He was standing on a cliff. He was very disappointed, discouraged, hopeless. And then I saw the Lord. The Lord wasn't on the cliff. The Lord was just there in midair. And he said to this man, I will catch you. I will always be there for you. I will not let you fall. I will not let you fail. I am there always for you. I was thankful when I woke up. It was just scary. And this brother gave testimony to it when I shared it with him. And then the other day, at work, I was at one of my clients' homes, and the mom was sharing how upset she was and how scared she was because she had been taking her children to swim lessons. And the very first day, the six-year-old jumped into the water. No one was paying attention. He wasn't supposed to do that. And he thinks he was drowning. His mom thought he had a near-death experience. It doesn't matter if he did or didn't. What matters is that mom got scared and that little boy is scared. But I know the Lord was there. And so I just took him and I held him. And I couldn't say, gosh, don't be naughty like that again. All I could do was just think, Lord, at that moment you were there. At that moment you carried him. At that moment you did not let him down. You did not break that mom's heart. You were there, Lord. And I'm telling you this morning that there are people in this church that are broken, that are so broken that some of you want to commit suicide. And the suicide is you want to separate from the Lord. You are so discouraged, so angry, so frustrated. You want to give in. You want to give up. Because what the Lord, you keep asking the Lord and asking the Lord, he is not doing. The Lord is not going to do what you want him to do. But you call out to that Lord in your distress, and he hears you. Psalm 106, I think it is. Right, Jesse? Yeah, 106, Pastor? I think it's 106. Yeah. So in your distress, you call out to the Lord. You call out to the Lord in your weakness, and you call out to your Lord in your thanksgiving. When the Lord has honored you and blessed you, and I'm saying this for me, when he has given and given and given and given, and we are so callous to his gifts and his love and his mercy that we keep wanting more. And we're angry when he isn't giving us what we think he should. And I'm also concerned because I do believe in the last 2 weeks there has been someone in this church, maybe not present, but someone in our church that is so despondent that the thought of hurting themselves is real. They are truly engaging in that thought that my life is worthless. My life is no good. No one cares. No one sees. No one knows. And that is a lie from the enemy. And if any of you have that feeling right now, you need to be sure. In fact, everyone close your eyes. That was kind of bossy. Please close your eyes. Put your heads down. Heads down, eyes closed. Please. Please, Lord God, please. If anyone in the last 2 weeks has been so discouraged, so broken, so hurt that they feel like they're separated from the Lord, please raise your hand. Keep your eyes closed. Is there anyone in this room that has entertained the thought of, Lord, you're not good for me. You're not good enough. You aren't filling what I need. Please raise your hand. And Lord forbid, if there is anyone that is so lost in their life that they could walk away. Just walk away. And just want to die. If you have any of those thoughts, please raise your hand. I am telling you that we have a God that loves us so much, that loves us so much, that all thoughts are forgiven. All thoughts that don't line up with his will are forgiven. You are loved by a Father. No greater love than this. No greater love than this. The Lord carries you. You come to that mountaintop, and the Lord carries you. And at times, you need to jump into the arms of the Lord. Jump so the Lord can carry you. So, Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord, in our weakness, in our doubts, in times of destruction, in times of emptiness. We pray healing, Lord. We pray healing. Lord, we love you. We love you. Don't leave this day not knowing the Father's love. Don't leave this day not being in love with the Lord. And don't leave this day without forgiving yourself, because the Lord already has forgiven you and forgiven me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we give you the glory, Lord. We give you the glory. Thank you, Jesus.
I thought this would be a good opportunity just to take family communion. Because there's healing in the elements. There's healing in the work of the cross. And I don't know how many of you need a physical healing, like myself, or a spiritual healing, or healing of the heart, healing of the maybe the mind, will, and emotions, maybe some pains from the past. When we take communion today, we can allow God's healing power to cleanse us and purify us and make us into the people that he's called us to be. So the way that we do family communion here, if you're a guest, is we just come up to the front and we kind of distribute the elements, and then I will say a blessing and a prayer, and then we'll take together. So praise the Lord. Come on up. I think we have some more coming, so do we need it? We'll see. Yeah, we're going to need it. It says that on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, that he took the bread and he says, "This is my body that is broken for you." So his body was broken so that we could be made whole. And so in his broken body, we can receive life. We can receive health. We can receive restoration. Jesus, we thank you for being broken for us. We thank you, Lord, that you took on our sorrows. You took on our sicknesses and diseases. Lord, you took on our sins, Lord. You took on the pain, God, of our hearts, Lord, and the wounds, Lord, from life. Lord, you took that upon yourself. You suffered, Lord, so that we might be made whole and restored. So, Lord, right now we just receive the life that's in the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And he took the cup and he said, "This is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood." And this blood represents purification from all acts of unrighteousness, all the things that Barb was talking about, the thoughts that are not godly thoughts. The blood of Jesus cleanses us and washes us and makes us pure and holy in God's sight. And this is the life of God that we have an opportunity to partake with today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word says, Lord, that your life is in your blood, Lord. So We receive the life of God into our being, Lord. We receive that oneness with you, Lord. We receive, Lord, your gift, Lord, from heaven, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Morning, everybody. I was just going to announce really quickly that, hi, Josh, that we're going to be, some of us ladies, I don't know if you've seen on Facebook, we've been posting Breakthroughs Women's Conference. It's going to be April 23rd, and it's an all-day event from 9 o'clock to 3:30 or 4 o'clock, and there will be a break in between for an hour and a half to go and have lunch somewhere. So if you guys are interested in going, please let me know. I'm going to be collecting money this week. It's $15. And if you guys are interested, let's all get together for lunch and just, you know, talk about what we're learning and how the Lord is working in us. So I'm going to go ahead and call the children up so we can pray and send them on down. Mainly my children. Here comes Lorena and her brother. Okay. All right. You guys ready to pray? Okay, Lord, we just thank you for these children, God. We just ask you to work in them and work in their hearts today as Tara and Zeke work with them as well, God. We just ask a blessing over Tara and Zeke as they sharpen these arrows, God, and onto things that you have for them, Lord. Thank you for their hearts and for who you are calling them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Go on down. Go with Tara and Zeke. Thank you.
Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
I did not know if I was going to have a multimedia person during this. Plus, I didn't want to try to teach on studying the Bible the way I'm feeling. So
he's fuzzy, but that only works if you're a teddy bear.
Yeah. So, doesn't work for this.
If it's not clear, just raise your hand. We'll try and explain.
She'll try to explain. So in Psalm 78 this week, I was reading. And actually, I think Jesse and I even shared about it a little bit on Wednesday night. And let me get to a different translation here. And it's... talking about the heart, and we've talked about the heart a lot here. How many know that the heart is really kind of our whole issue? The heart is what gives the ability for either life to flow or death to flow. It says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we know that the mouth can either speak words of life or words of death. And so if the heart is that critical of an item that we have, and again, it's not just our blood pump, you know. Most people, when I say heart, they're thinking of their blood pump. Say, how does the blood pump do that? Well, the heart is also described as our inner man. It's a part of us we can't see. It's what we know when we get to know somebody a long time. You know their heart. You get to know how they behave. You get to know how they react. You get to know what makes them tick. And you're kind of knowing who they are inside. And so from the aspect of God, from our relationship with God, how we handle our heart and how we prepare our hearts is very important. And this verse, I think, said it really well. I'm going to read it from two translations. The first translation is the New King. I think I'll read it from three translations. New King James. And this is kind of a little bit pulled out of the full Psalm 78. You can go back and read it. But really, I'm just trying to after this key thought. And he says, 78 verse 8. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The Young's Literal Translation, which most of you probably don't even think of looking at that, says it this way: and they are not like their fathers, a generation apostate and rebellious, a generation it hath not prepared its heart. In other words, this generation had not prepared its heart, nor steadfast with God is its spirit. And so when I read this, it really made me think about, okay, so we can have our heart and we can want our heart to be good and we can desire it for it to be the way that God desires our heart to be, and I believe that's one yielded and surrendered to him. But it's talking here about preparing our heart. And so I said, Lord, what does that mean to prepare our heart? And so hopefully these are not in too crazy of order that I'll be able to give you something here. Hang on a second. I'll let you talk for a second. How about that? No, she's not going to talk anything. Okay, she's good. Nope. Okay.
But I guess I can say something.
Oh, there you can. Oh, good, good.
It does say a lot about us preparing our heart, but mm-hmm. The Bible also speaks a lot about God preparing our heart. Mm-hmm. And this is our responsibility, is what he's talking about. What is our responsibility in preparation? And sometimes we feel like it's all about God, and if I yield myself to him and he does it all, I'll be okay. But that's getting us off the hook as individuals, because it takes two different people going in different directions to create a relationship, meaning it takes my husband coming toward me and me going toward my husband. And it's not just about God in this relationship. It's about God and you, or God and me. And that's where the responsibility comes in.
That's good. So you were just saying, though, about that preparing the heart is all up to us. Well, I'm glad that it isn't. Yeah. I'm glad that if it was really up to me just to prepare my heart for God, and for you, I think we're sunk, because I don't think we have our own strength in ourselves to do this. And so here's an encouraging verse. This is Psalm 10:17. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. So notice God is hearing the desire of a humble heart. You will prepare their heart. He's saying you, capital U, you, God, will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. And so a humble, contrite being, humble, contrite life is the beginning of God preparing your heart. And I believe, this is truly what I believe, without prepared hearts, we are not going to be able to be who God's called us to be. And without humility, we're not going to be able to have prepared hearts. I know for me, without God allowing my heart to be like a seed planted so that it grows up into something that is, you know, fruit not only for my life, but fruit for others, that the only way that that's going to happen is for me to yield and surrender to him. Hang on a second here. I have another verse. You guys probably can't read Hebrew. Oh, I know what I want to do. Sorry. Hang on a second. Let me switch here. Switching gears for a minute. I want to give you the definition of this word prepared or set aright. And it comes from the Hebrew word yun, and it is its origination means an open hand and a seed in the open hand, and then a strong arm, which that validates it being not just an open hand and a seed, but it's going to be set very firmly. So the pictograph is a picture of an open palm and the picture of a seed combined with these, the opening of a seed. So if you think about our heart being a place where God can plant something, we know that the word of God goes into our heart and it's planted. It's like a seed, and we have to, you know, nurture that seed. How many know that, you know, you've had a word from the Lord before and it's really good and you get excited about it and you don't give it any opportunity to grow in you? You don't rethink about it. You don't revisit it. I mean, it may have been a word for your life. It may have been, you know, thus saith the Lord, you know, I want you to do this. And if you go this way, I'll be with you. But you never revisit it. You never give it an opportunity to be nourished and grow. You never even ask the Lord, you know, what does this mean and how do we partner in this to have this word completed? Even though the seed was planted in you, if you don't cater to it, how many farm here? If you plant a seed in the ground, I mean, you may do well in certain areas where it just waters all the time. Maybe Seattle, you can just drop a seed in the ground and it will grow something. That's because it's a lot of moisture. But, you know, we're kind of in a desert here, so that doesn't necessarily happen. You might get a sprout come up in spring a little bit, but if you don't water that, if you don't, you know, deal with that plant, what's going to happen to that plant, Ken? It will die. It will die. And that's sometimes what happens to the words in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And that's partly why our hearts aren't prepared.
And I think that he can tell when I have something to say. Isn't that cute? It reminds me somewhat of years and years and years ago, we actually used to have what's called presbyteries. And what a presbytery was you would be a candidate and you would prepare your heart. And then there would be guys that come that are prophet, and they don't know you, and they never met you, and then they can speak over your life and speak words into your life. And I've had that happen to me a couple times, a few of you have. And what's amazing to me is if you think back, if you go back and think about, you know, the words that you heard even spoken over another person, and then you've watched their life, you can tell whether or not they have fertilized and weeded and visited and cared for the word that was planted in them. And then you see the other ones that have not, because they get this word and it's, oh, it's about, you know, God's talking to me. God's got my number. Yeah, let's go. And then all of a sudden, a month or two down the road, and they're like floundering a little bit, and you're wondering like, wow, that was a great word. What's going on with you? You know, what's going on with you? But they have not taken the care of that seed. They've not taken that seed as it was planted and nurtured it. And that's what we're talking about. We must allow these things to be nurtured in our lives if they're going to make us grow.
Yeah, obviously we don't want, you know, the word of the Lord to die in our hearts, but it has the opportunity to do that if we do not give it the attention that it's due. I wanted to read to you what this definition of this word yun means. It means to put in proper condition or readiness, to get it ready. So again, I think of what we're doing is in preparing our hearts, we're preparing our hearts for God to work in us. It's not for us to do the work. It's not for us to, I mean, it's not up to us to make ourselves perfect, folks. Or even to make ourselves arrive. It's not up to us. This is a work that God's going to do. It is up to us to allow preparation to be done, to yield to that work, to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that can be just as simple as just an act of obedience. Mm-hmm. It may be that the Lord puts on your heart, hey, you know what? There's this person at work and you keep mistreating them. And that's not how I would treat them, son or daughter. And so what I want you today, I want you to go and ask for their forgiveness for the way that you've been treating them. I'm not going to go and ask them forgiveness, Lord, you know, because they've been treating me just as bad. But the thing is that the Lord's trying to get you to yield your heart to an act of obedience that will bring a greater field of preparation for him. It's kind of like you're removing rocks that are there in the soil. It's like you're maybe removing some weeds. And the Holy Spirit wants you to be as prepared as you can be so that he can do the work that he wants to do in you. Mm-hmm. Most of us aren't as far along as we could be because of the condition of our heart. Yeah. Bottom line. I would be farther along in my walk with God if my heart was in a different condition. Mm-hmm. I'm not excluded from this message. Go ahead.
Well, I want to say that when he was talking about, you know, somebody treating you bad at work and then you treating them bad and then God says you need to go and ask their forgiveness, is it wrong, pastor, to go to a person and say, you know, I'm really sorry. I think some of my actions have come across wrong, and I'd like to ask you to forgive me. Not necessarily asking forgiveness for the actual issue, because I may not have caused it. But if we're contrite before them, then that gives them place to be contrite before me. So is it wrong for you to go to that person and say, you know, I know I've had a part in, you know, I've treated you wrong and I've thought about things and, you know, it's just not good. And so I'm asking you to forgive me. Is that the way that we could do that? And do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, it depends on each condition, you know, and each situation. But the Lord's putting something on your heart, even though you're saying, I'm not guilty of this.
Right.
But the Lord's saying, no, I know you're not guilty of all of it, but you are guilty of holding bitterness or resentment or anger or just agitation, you know. Mm-hmm. Certain individuals you can get around and it's just like, you know, oil and water or fire and gas, you know. It just depends on, you know, the condition of the heart of the other individual and your heart at the time. So, I would say that obedience is the key. Like Barb today. I mean, Lord, I don't want to do this. You know, it's like, if you really want me to do something in the music that tells me this, obviously that must have been what you were saying, or allow something to shift in the atmosphere. And then she was obedient to that. Now, some of us may not totally understand that act of obedience because we weren't her at the time. But when you're obedient and you follow what the Lord's telling you to do, your heart notifies to you that you were obedient. Like if you are honest and you go to that individual, say, listen, you know what? I need to make our relationship right. Will you forgive me? Or, you know, I've been a part of this conflict. Will you forgive me? Even if they don't forgive you, you're going to walk away. Your heart's going to be assured that you did the right thing. Because mm-hmm. it's getting prepared. When you did that act, mm-hmm. there was some preparation that took place. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, in other words, if they're not going to forgive us, we need to be prepared just to make the relationship as right as we can. There's a verse in, I think it's Romans 12. It says, as much as it's up to you, get along with everybody. Yeah. And that was to the believers. If you as much as you know it's your part, try to get along with everybody.
Well, I have a little story to tell about that.
Oh, okay.
It was back when our daughter was probably four, and she was four, and I had been working with in-laws at my job, in-laws, and they treated the in-law worse than they treated the other people that worked there, and so I put up with it, finally, and I had gotten pregnant, and I'd lost the baby. And that was the final straw. I quit working there. I mean, I just walked in and gave my notice, and I was out of there. I wasn't going to be under that bondage anymore of, you know, such a harsh working condition. And so for a whole winter, like I quit in August, and it was a whole winter. It was April. And I have been chewing up on that bitterness, and it was nasty tasting, but it made me feel good just to get the feelings out and just think about all the bad things they said about me, all the things that they did to me. You know, I got paid less than anybody else, but I did more work than anybody else, blah, 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 blah. You know, I just went over this song and dance for months. And I'd lost this baby, and my husband and I wanted another baby. And God spoke to me in that longing, in that wanting, and he said to me, "Where is your heart? Where's your heart at? Could you even receive the gift of a child in the state that you're in?" And so I knew he was telling me, you need to go to the brother-in-law and the nephew-in-law, and you need to ask them for your for forgiveness for you. Not for what they did to you, but for being bitter against them. And so I called and made an appointment and went over to see him. And I just laid out, you know, and it felt good to be able to tell them what had hurt my heart and all of that. And I said, but this is not about you. This is about me. All this time, all through the holidays, I didn't speak to him, even though we were in the same room. I didn't talk to him. All through this whole winter time, I just been very angry and bitter and gnarly. I mean, really gnarly. I can be gnarly. And I asked them, I said, I just need you to forgive me because, number one, I know that my bitterness is goes against the plan of God for my life. I know that it only makes me separate even more from him, and it separates us. So please forgive me for being bitter and angry toward you. And they said, you know, you're forgiven. And then they did ask for forgiveness for their part of it. But what was really amazing is this. I went to a women's conference that very next weekend, and someone prayed over me, you know, that the desire of my heart would be that I would get pregnant with the second baby and all that. And I got pregnant. But the funny thing was, when we found out about the dates, I was pregnant prior to the meeting with those two men. God already knew that my heart was being prepared. He already knew that I was, you know, working on it inside. He already knew. The blessing had already come. I didn't even know about it. I didn't know. And so when I went to this women's conference and they're praying for me, it's a good thing that that prayer didn't go through because I could have been praying with twins. Wouldn't that be something? No, I'm kidding. Anyway, but, you know, I went to this conference. The women prayed over me. And then I found out with the dates that I was pregnant far earlier than that. And it was far earlier than the meeting with those guys because God knew my heart was, I want to be pure before him. And sometimes I'm not. None of us are. Can I bring this up?
Absolutely.
Okay. So my absolute favorite chapter in the Bible is Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a boy, if there's anything that ever would set out the way that things need to happen in your life to getting your heart prepared for God to move, this probably would be the very verse or the very chapter. And in this chapter, this is the Psalm of David, 51. And David is going before the Lord because Nathan, the prophet, had come to him and told him, you know, there's this guy. He stole the sheep from the next door neighbor. He ate, you know, he brought the sheep over. He skinned the sheep. He ate the sheep for a party. And David's like all up in air, like, why would they do that? Why would they do that? You know, and then the prophet revealed to him it was him. It was him that stole Bathsheba. It was him that had her husband killed. It was David. And when David was aware of it, all of a sudden he recognized, hey, wait, I got to do something here. So he's already, through Nathan, is beginning a preparation for God's work in his heart. The reason I love this so much is because it takes us through everything, even to the part of others. And let me get to that. Okay, so let's just start, if you guys don't mind, I'll start in verse 2. It says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, sin, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you only, I have sinned. Hold on, I don't know how to, hold on. Sorry, just a minute. Against you only you have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. This is God he's talking about. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Number 7, purge me with hyssop that I may be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all iniquities. And here's the beautiful one of them all. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Verse 13 has a very interesting word at the beginning of it. It says, then. God has done all of that. You've asked for forgiveness. He's cleaning you. He's creating a new heart. Then I will teach transgressors your way. You don't get to be forgiven just to be forgiven. You get to teach other people what your forgiveness was all about. Mm-hmm. It's about other people too. That then makes us responsible for our part in this. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Why? Because of my story. Why? Because of what you did for me. Why? Because they should see a difference. They should see a difference. And then 14 is, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Now, let me just give you guys a little bit of a note here. The word, when it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. That word broken means shattered. Now, if you've ever seen a glass break or a vase break and you can repair it with a little bit of glue and it go back together, that's a break. But when it's shattered, it can never be put back together the way it was. It's completely pretty much demolished into glass dust below you. But it says that's God's, the sacrifices to God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. And that broken means shattered. The contrite heart means a crushed heart. That means, how many of you guys watch that silly episode of Lucille Ball where she's in the vat and she's smashing the grapes and she's running and she's, you know, doing all of that. And she's smashing the grapes. She is pressing them down. She's crushing the grapes so that there will be fruit and wine come out or juice or whatever it is. And that's what God is saying. I want your heart to be so crushed that whatever is good in there and whatever is bad in there, it can come out, and then I can create in you the clean heart that you want. Okay, and then it says a broken and contrite heart, and then it says, these, O God, you will not despise. And that word, not despise, the junction of those two words is, you will not turn away. You will not reject. You will not find despicable, and you will not deject. Now, let me just say something. Some of us have been under the misconception that what we've done in our life is too bad. It's too awful. It's too much for God to forgive. Can I say that God was with David even when David stole Bathsheba? He saw it. And here he's asking, create in me this clean heart. Help me, God, to have a contrite and broken heart. And don't despise me anymore. And he won't. He doesn't. There's nothing you can do that God will not make better, that he will not forgive. The problem that we get hooked up in is we believe that God is finite instead of infinite. Like he can only forgive so much. Right. And that's not true. It is not true.
No, it's basically, it talks about, you know, our sins being cast away as far as the east is from the west. Mm-hmm. You know, that there, and you know, that's we're talking, you know, universe wise, as far as it can go, not just you know, down the street. He doesn't remember our sins when we ask for forgiveness.
Right.
That's the key, though. That's that contrite heart. Mm-hmm. That's where you have to say, Lord, forgive me for those thoughts.
Right.
Forgive me for those actions. Right. Forgive me for those words that I spoke. Mm-hmm. You know, forgive me for whatever it is, whatever, you know, we know the condition of our heart. Mm-hmm. You know, when we take time, when we ask the Lord to reveal to us, we can find out the condition of our heart and God will work on it. Mm-hmm. But you can't just gloss it over. You can't just keep going through the motions. To prepare your heart is an active process. It requires us to constantly seek Him. Speaking of that, let me give you a verse here.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead. She's going
to
share
more to finish.
Two more to finish.
Okay, and then in verse 18 it says, "Do good in your good pleasures." Oops, sorry.
Sorry.
This is just really hard for me to maneuver when it's sideways. Sorry, guys, just a second. It says, do not cast away your blah, 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 blah. Nope, we're further down. There we go. Okay. It says, do good in your good pleasures to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. And we have the then word again. There's a then there. Why? And it's because you shall be pleased, God, with the sacrifices of righteousness. He will be pleased. He's asking, David is saying, clean me, make me have a contrite heart, do this. And then he's saying, do good in your good pleasure in Zion. He's saying, let that be done. And he's saying, then you will be pleased in the sacrifices. So you've taken, let's go back to the beginning. David took care of himself, created, you know, Lord, forgive me, create me a clean heart. But it was before that when Nathan said, you naughty boy, he recognized it, right? That's the beginning of the work. And then he goes in and he's asking, and then what happens? Then he can teach transgressors his way, meaning I can teach somebody about how to get forgiven. I can teach somebody about how to recognize sin. Lisa?
As you were talking about the last gospel,
yeah.
The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And when we don't fully trash it and dash it, and we have the ability to put that thing back together again. And so it's imperative that we understand what a contrite heart is.
Yeah, so what Lisa's saying, for those of you who might be listening, what just took place, I think you were saying that there's still a part of us that when it's broken, we can still be trying to put it back together again ourselves. And again, this contrite that you're talking about is one that God puts back together.
Right, exactly.
This is beyond human ability to put back together. Mm-hmm. And that takes a humility. Mm-hmm. That takes you know, a brokenness that says, you know, I don't have it all together. I don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. You know, I am a mess. You know, mm-hmm. And folks, even if your life doesn't look like a mess, especially if you're comparing it to somebody else you may know, maybe that sinner down the street or that person that you're working with, folks, compared to being in the glory of God, we're a mess.
Yeah.
We are a mess. I mean, unless somebody's walking like around here glowing, like, excuse me, I can't laugh, like Jesus is in heaven, because that says, as he is, so are we on the earth. Unless you're like that, we're still a mess. We still need to be transformed. And yes, are we his sons and daughters? Yes, but we're still in a process. So to add to what you were saying, or maybe digress just a little bit. Preparation of the heart could be just the very beginnings of just seeking the Lord as well. You don't have to be like fully in to have your heart being prepared. God can start preparing you. If you're not walking with the Lord now, He can start preparing you to seek Him. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. There's a couple of different kings in the Bible. One was named Rehoboam. This is in 2 Chronicles 12, 13, and 14. Thus King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother name was Naab, and Ammonitess. And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So he didn't prepare his heart to seek him. I mean, I don't think he had to prepare his heart to be perfect. He just needed to prepare his heart to seek him. That's the start. If we can just, Lord, if whatever you need to do in me, prepare me to seek you. Prepare me to have a greater hunger for you. A greater desire for you. Now, here's another king. This king's name is Jehoshaphat. And it says, And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. He was trying to help another king. But then he says, nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. So you have two kings. One was choosing not to prepare his heart, and another one was preparing his heart to seek the Lord. And it's just an openness. Really, that's where it begins, an openness to God to work in your life, that you don't have all the answers, because you don't. Even if you think you have all the answers, if teenagers, they feel like, I've got all the answers. My parents know nothing. Yeah, you don't have all the answers. Your parents probably know more than you think they do. But with our hearts, if we just come to Him and say, Lord, teach me how to prepare my heart. Help me to prepare my heart. I don't know how to do this. I mean, I've heard that having humility is something. I've heard that having openness and obedience is something. But I still don't know if I can do that. Just help me to start, Lord. It's that simple. It really is, but it's necessary to grow in God. We're only going to go so far in God as we prepare our hearts, as we allow our hearts to be planted and secure and firmly seated. Go ahead.
So I have a story I want to tell you guys, and it's cute and it's funny, but I think you'll get the analogy of it, okay? So there was a mom, and she had three little kids, and her life was spent running after these three little kids. And her husband, prior to having baby one, they baby-proofed their house. How many of you guys have heard that terminology before, baby-proofing your home? Yeah. And so now they're at kid three, and so things have gotten a little bit lax. You know how you are when you're on baby number three. Things are a little bit easier, not quite so hard. Well, all of a sudden, this one morning, the mom is noticing that two of the three are in together in eating breakfast, but baby number three, the little two-year-old, is not anywhere to be found. And so she goes to the living room, no baby, goes to his bedroom, no baby, goes to brother's bedroom, no baby, and her heart's starting to pound a little bit. Oh, no, no baby, no baby, where's that baby at, you know? So she started for her room, and she could hear sounds coming from the master bathroom, and she goes in, and to her shock and dismay, baby number two has found her bright red lipstick and has proceeded to color all over the linen closet door and the wall, red lipstick everywhere. And he saw the full-length mirror, and it was all over him too, because he was just like, you know, doing this. And so he didn't see her at first. She's watching him, and at one place she wanted to laugh, but then another place she just wanted to just be so upset with him. But she walked in, and what he did was he took the lipstick that he was holding, that he was drawing with, and she said to him, you know, what are you doing? And the lipstick immediately went behind the back. nothing? Now, Mom obviously knows it was just not nothing, because there's red everywhere. And she goes, no, you need to tell Mommy what you did. And he goes, nothing, I goo boy. And she's like, okay, you know. But then she got to thinking about that. And this is what she said. How many times do we try and hide our red lipsticks from God? We grab our red lipsticks, the past things that we've done, and we've colored with them. We've marked ourselves up. And then when God says, hey, Lisa, immediately the hand goes behind with the red lipstick, but evidence is everywhere. God knows our hearts. He knows what we're doing. Yeah. I hate to tell you this. He knows about the book you're reading and or the show you're watching and or the private text you may be having and or whatever, whatever, whatever. God knows these things. And until, and this is the preparation, until we're ready to throw those red lipsticks in the garbage and get rid of them, whatever they may be for you, that has to be the preparation that starts. You have to throw the red lipstick away.
Or give it back to the person. Give it back to God. Say, Lord, yeah. I can't deal with this.
Jason? No, you can't keep any lipstick, Jason. That was really kind of nerve-wracking to think about that. But do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get the analogy that I'm trying to tell you guys? Is that God is saying, you know, we have so much further to go in this relationship between you and me. Do you really like that red lipstick that much? Like, do you really? How many times, and then this is the question you ask yourself, that red lipstick, where whatever it may be, whether it be speaking to somebody that's not your spouse, or whether it be you're watching a show that's very, very questionable, you have to be willing to get rid of the red lipstick. And if God's pointing the red lipstick out to you, that's your chance to prepare.
And for us guys, it's a chainsaw, okay?
Whatever it is. But I'm just, do you understand the analogy though? You understand what I'm getting at? And so the preparation has to be that we start with that. We start with the things that have tripped us up for so long. Get rid of those things.
Acknowledge them.
Acknowledge. Well, hey, God already knows about them anyway.
Well, but sometimes we lie to ourselves.
Exactly.
I don't have this lipstick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and you guys, that's us wanting God more than we want our own way. Are you hungry enough for God? Do you long for him more than you long for that red lipstick to still be in your life?
And if you only knew the hunger that he had for you, if we could only realize the love of God for us and the hunger that he has for us, we would graciously and quickly be obedient in returning that love. But most of us are blind to that. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and pray, she says.
So I think I'm going to ask if there's anybody that would actually like prayer in this area that you may not even be willing to give up that red lipstick yet, and you are not willing to even take the steps to walk over to the garbage can, but you want to. You want to be able to do that. I'm going to pray, but if you'd like prayer, just come up and see Pastor and I. We'll be up here, and just know that, you guys, we love you so much, and we love you because we know you are great in God, and we want you to know that you're great in God. So let's pray. Father, Lord, we come to you, Father, and for those of us that don't even have a contrite heart yet, that don't even have that spirit that's crushed, God, I just pray for a longing, God, in us that we would be able to get to that point, Father, that our little red lipstick or whatever it may be, we would be willing to take the steps to throw it away, to get rid of it, and only seek you. God, I just pray that if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice, God, that you are nudging at their heart, God. You're saying, hey, you know, today wasn't a mistake for you to be here, and I want to point some things out to you that will only make us closer together. Father, I pray that there would be a willingness and a longing, God, in those hearts, God. Father, I pray for those of us that are beyond that, but we get tripped up by it. It's so easy. Things are going to happen. And so, Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just have that huge magnifying glass that we would be willing to look through to really search ourselves out, God, and be willing to say, create in me, God, a clean heart. Yes, and renew a right spirit in me, God. Cast me not away from your presence, God. I want to be where you are. I want to be doing what you do. And I can only do that if I'm willing. And Father, we just pray that for everyone in this room. Be with us today as we go. Bless our day, God. Bless each heart. Bless each family that's represented. And Father, move as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I want to say a quick prayer for the Emerald Care meeting. I'm not going to be able to come. They said you can't go because of this, evidently. Huh? But I understand there's going to be someone there that is really hungry for God, right, today. So, Father, we pray, Lord, for the Emerald Care meeting, Lord. We pray that your presence would just be there so powerfully. Lord, we release, Lord, your glory in that place for healings, for mighty miracles, God. And we just thank you, Lord, for the individuals, Lord, who are committed, Lord, to going there and showing your love, God, to those ones who are shut in, Lord. Bless Stephanie, Lord, and bless James, Lord, and God, whoever else is going today, Lord, go with them, God. Let your signs follow them, Lord, today in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, yes.